Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The intrigue, like, the costumes.
I watched the match where a man dressed like a Frankenstein monster.
Okay.
Okay, never mind. I can't talk about that, apparently. Never mind.
Welcome to And That's Why We're Messed Up, the podcast talking about geekery and nerdism and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am your host, Shannas. With my other host, next to me, there is the instant classic. What's up?
What's up? Aimed, please.
Of course, of course. And on the other side of me is Boogeray, big man, my other host. How you doing?
Not too bad. Good evening and salutations to the masses.
Fantastic. First of all, thank you, everybody, for the positive feedback and the vibes and the likes on the Last of Us in-depth review, our first two-parter. Thank you very much. All good, all love. And now this week, after that two-parter, we hand over to Big Man and the wonderful, wonderful world of wrestling. Take it away.
Why thank you, sis. Why thank you. Now, usually, to be fair, this episode of the pod was about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh.
Which pre-planned, had my notes, little antidotes here and there. But over the weekend, something happened, which, to be fair, paper got ripped and torn, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to go with it. A lot went down this weekend in the world of wrestling, and usually, sometimes, I get in touch with my brother and ask Mr. Classic, and ask him, all right, bro, what's your opinion? But Mr. Classic has actually outdone me this weekend. I only did 2 pay-per-views that are possible 4. He did all 4. And for that, I salute you, sir.
Salute.
They weren't watching. I tried to watch Night of Champions live, but that was going weird, so I waited till the next pretty much the... Actually, I pretty much waited for it to actually finish being live, then started watching it. It was actually, because the live feed was weird. But yeah, I did all 4. I did a 4-way of pay-per-views.
Now, that I have to rate, because, to be perfectly honest, I was out Saturday evening, so I did everything in my power to stay off the grid for Night of Champions. I wouldn't be surprised, and typical idiot like me, halfway through the night, I actually totally forgot I followed WWE on Instagram, went to look at something and then saw something, so yeah, that's kind of my own fault. But before we go into the forward, let's go back to where we began. So I believe Thursday, just gone, was it Ring of Honor, bro?
We had Ring of Honor, but that was just normal. I didn't watch that pay-per-view. Was that pay-per-view for 1 hour? I thought that was just a normal show. That was a normal show.
I thought that was a pay-per-view.
Well, okay, those five. I missed one. Then that's five. Then.
Whoa!
Because I didn't do Ring of Honor. Are you sure? I don't think there was.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I was going to say you saw it. I didn't.
You mean Impact?
No, because I swear no, Impact was Friday.
One second. Let's get the schedule up. Let's get the schedule up because I did not, Dark Side of the Ring started again, didn't it?
Interesting.
Because my schedule was basically Night of Champions, then Battleground, first it was Impact, then Night of Champions, then Battleground, first was Impact, then it was Night of Champions, then it was Double or Nothing, then it was Battleground for me. That's how I watched it. I didn't see Ring of Honor. It was Ring of Honor that was a normal show, but I didn't see a pay-per-view.
Ring of Honor was
always like pay-per-view level, their wrestling match.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's true. Now, which to be fair, I completely glossed over Ring of Honor because I actually forgot Ring of Honor was still a thing. I just see it as an extension of AEW.
Which is fair, but at the same time, it's a shame.
Yeah, unfortunately. So I glossed over that. So Friday night, during when I was watching SmackDown, I forgot it was Impact. Was it Slammiversary?
No, it was...
Under Siege.
Under Siege, I said, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, not Steven Seagal, connected, obviously.
I was just waiting to check, and thank you for confirming.
Yeah. Their annual Under Siege event. Now, to be perfectly honest, yet again with Impact, I haven't really been an Impact fan since they crossed the line back in the day. But I'm hearing there's a bit of a rebirth with Impact. It's actually coming back and not too bad. I mean, hell, I even saw a clip I saw Bobby Ray Dudley. And I thought, well, Bully Ray still doing his thing. But I saw something Saturday morning, which I can't even describe it. So, Bob, you can take it away, please.
Okay, well, I watched it on a whim because one, I knew that Trinity, a.k.a. What was her name in Blood? I thought her name was SmackDown. Got the glow.
Oh, gosh.
I've got a name. What's her bloody name?
Uh-oh.
Oh,
wrong.
Naomi. Wow. To be fair, she hasn't been Naomi for ages. So,
fair enough.
It's been a while, but there was like a second match on Impact since leaving WWE. So I thought I wanted to invest and watch the show and see how Impact's doing, because last time I was fully invested in Impact is like when Big Man said when it crossed the line, it was called TNA. It was a whole different show back then. That's where I discovered people like AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, and so on and so forth. And two of my favorite wrestlers were on that show, on that pay-per-view in general, which were Jordynne Grace, who's a women's wrestler, and she's a former champion of Impact. She was having a match there. And also, the Machine Guns were wrestling, but separate, but solo. So I thought, they're on. I'll watch them.
Really?
Yeah, they were. Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley. Yeah, Alex Shelley was in a Fatal 4-Way, and Chris Sabin was in a X Division match or X Division Championship match.
Okay.
I've got to say the pay per view flowed really well. The matches were on point. Nothing amazing, but nothing boring. I think my match of the night was probably the X Division title, Trey Miguel versus Alex Shelley, which was a really good match. And but the surprise of the night was the main event. I'm familiar with these wrestlers. Like I'm familiar with them in a different when they were different people. So the main event, PCO, which stands for it stands for two things really.
Meaning.
Say again.
Yeah, it had a meaning.
Yeah, it had two meanings. From way back in the day, from the day when when Chantel used to watch wrestling, there was a pirate guy. It was a pirate wrestler or pirate-esque wrestler called, what was he called? Pierre Carl. Yeah, I can't even pronounce his last name. It's French. He was like, if you saw the picture of him, you would remember him. He's like, he was like, yeah, had a pirate gimmick kind of thing.
It's ringing a bell.
And he basically has the same initials, but this time now he calls himself PCO, which stands for Perfect Creation One.
Oh,
now, now, if you saw this man, not to question, not to like, you know, like, you know, not to like, you know, to insult anyone or like, like, you know, like talking about Batman's image, but yeah, if that's Perfect Creation, yeah, what's PCO? What's PCS look like? So the second, or PC two? Because Perfect Creation One. Yeah, should have left it in the like the oven for a little bit longer, just saying. But but yeah,
creation is underdone.
But yeah, he is like, again, a Frankenstein-esque monster, basically. That's his gimmick kind of thing. He was created to be a permanent thing. And he was wrestling this guy called Steve Macklin, who, like, I remember him in, when he was in WWE. He was in a group called the Forgotten Sons, if I'm not mistaken. And he's doing really well in Impact. I feel like he's given the credibility that he deserves, and he's getting a lot of like eyes on the product. So I will give him credit for. I'm glad he's doing better for himself in Impact. But the match itself was. Yeah. Well, I watched this. It was quite. Like, I started watching this about around what 10 in the morning. So I kind of basically just woken up and I just thought, let's watch this while I'm doing some editing. And I wasn't prepared because like all the matches have been relatively normal, to say the least, up to this point. And then we got to this match.
Let's just go in.
Like it was no disqualification match. It was cinder blocks and kendo sticks and sledgehammers. And blood. Like, you know, the usual shit. But it got a bit
normal fare.
Yeah, it got a bit weird. When a staple gun got involved.
I'm sorry. I saw you just said staple gun.
I did say staple gun. Like I said, big man in a voice note when we were talking about it. It's not the fact that that PCO got his face and lip stapled together. What got me about the whole thing was his reaction to it, because my man was at peace. Like, if it was like if a normal person got stapled in any orifice of their body, there's gonna be a reaction. My man's eyes were closed, like he was sleeping, had taken a nap, not squeezing like in pain or in anticipation. He was cool, calm, and collected. And then what gets him when Steve Macklin stapled the man's lips, there was no sound. There was no reaction. There was no, like, everyone else in the studio was reacting normally, but my man was at peace. And I get it. He was playing a character because he's peace. Yeah. He's a Frankenstein's monster kind of thing. He shouldn't feel pain. Right. I guess. But that's what freaked me out more than anything else was his reaction. That scared me. Match was good.
Sorry.
Though.
I mean, you know, but you know, also it came into my head when you said about the staples. It just reminded me of that bit in Get Smart, where obviously, like,
oh yeah, when the rocks
staples and that comes out of his head, because that was one staple. I'm sorry. I mean, I would ask why in the plot we needed to staple a man's mouth together, but it's wrestling, so I don't think I should ask that question.
I would have said he spoke too much, but my man didn't talk either, so
right. And that's what got me, because I actually totally forgot Under Siege was going down Friday, so I've gone on the social and I've just seen this clip on TikTok of seeing a man laid out and having his face stapled. And you know when you watch something and you instantly just shut your phone down?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't just see that. And I thought, you know, let me watch it again. I went, oh, there's no screaming. There's no noise. This is real. Okay, it's a bit early for 8 a.m, but it is what it is. That set the tone, I think, for the weekend. Well, yeah, because after I couldn't speak.
Listeners, if the reaction to your face being stapled is it is what it is,
To be fair, my brain wasn't getting stapled, so I think that should be his reaction, to be fair. But like,
yeah. Look, we've survived ECW. For me, you can't get lower than that.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, for Mr. PCO, it was like a normal Friday for him, so I'm sure he's fine. That's probably why he makes a big bucks.
I hope so, per staple.
Just remember, it could be worse. It could have been New Jack and Taser was involved and a knife. Just remember that.
And attempted murder on a regular basis. Like,
the things you've told me, the things I've seen, I'm just like, nothing really, Faith? I think I'm not surprised, but then I hear the word staple gun, and then I go, oh yeah, I can still be surprised.
Look, let me put it this way. We've survived Katie Vick. We've survived the White family in the woods.
Dear Lord, no.
Ultimate deletions.
Hey. I will have no deletion slander.
Oh no, so we survived it. Yeah, we know ultimate deletion is an event.
I'm happy. You know. I'm so glad you shared that with me. I'm like, look, Senor Benjamin.
Yeah, you know that time of year when Senor Benjamin gets involved.
Fantastic.
But that set the tone, because that Saturday I said, you know what, I had going into their annual event, Night of Champions, it was a bit of a weird one because on paper, I thought, you know, the last few years, WWE, when they go to the Middle East, their pay-per-views has actually gotten better. They had originally like a glorified house show mentality, but the money's been spent and it's looking good. So I went into Night of Champions with no expectations. Now, I can honestly say, we'll get to the main event, but we need to talk about the first match of the night, which is for the new WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Whatever the hell they're calling this belt anyway.
World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, basically, I'll call it the non-Roman belt, basically, for the industry. Wow. It is, though. Yeah.
So mean.
The non-Roman belt.
So bloody harsh, man. Jesus Christ.
The non-Roman
belt. To you and your non-Roman belt.
Which, fair play, is two of my favourites. Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles. I didn't mind who won the match, and the match was actually a damn good match.
Mm.
It set the tone. I'm happy Seth won it, because, you know, I'll probably say next to Roman, consistently, over the past year, has just been putting up bangers. Rollins never has a bad match.
Very true.
And if the interview he did for BT Sports, when he basically said when he works for WWE, he honestly feels no matter how great he is, he will never get the rub because of Roman, which I said, no disrespect to Roman. It's really not. He just knows he cannot get to that level where he is. He says he can work with him, but he knows he's that guy. He gets the rub. He will always be the guy that could have been, but he now wants to be that guy. And you know what? You got the title. You're in Hollywood in Captain America 4. Crack on. Because you know what? You deserved it. Head of a match. Happy with the winner. And I'm like, you know what? Make it run for a little bit. Don't do like a transitional champion and lose it in a couple of weeks.
Mm.
Although, I do see potential him losing it to Walter.
Gunther.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, I still see Wolves. Every time he comes out, I still see Wolves. But Gunfight, to be fair, if there's one guy who he could possibly lose that title to on Raw, it could be him.
Yeah, I kind of want Imperium to be the Raw's bloodline.
They like, could be, I'm right.
Yeah, because right now he's currently Intercontinental Champion. So I'd be happy with him keeping it until he's earned like a world title shot, then he gets the world title and then hope somehow. What is it? Actually, do you know what the deal is with the Undisputed titles yet? Is it like they go to both brands now, or is it like they're going to, or is Raw going to get their own titles?
What do you mean? What, the tag titles?
Yeah, because like, is it like they just float about between both shows now?
Both shows, yeah. And NXT as well, I believe, if need be.
But NXT have their own champion. Actually, they don't. Don't.
Don't. That's just how it is. But apparently, it could be like the 24/7. It can be defended any time, any place, by the sound of it.
But yeah, but,
I mean, like, don't bring logic into this. Like, there's no place for logic here.
It's WWE, we know what we're going to expect. I mean, another prime example of logic. Now, mentioning you talking about Gunther, the match he had with Mustafa Ali.
That was match of the night.
Yeah.
Match of the night.
Now, over the past few weeks, Mustafa Ali, I'll probably say over the last couple months, when he hasn't been fed to Bobby Lashley, yeah. He's actually, he's so talented, but he never got the rub. I mean, the first time he hit the scene, he basically had Kofi Kingston's spot for Mania. And only until the punt from Orton that damaged his eye, he couldn't make it. Yeah. Hence, Kofi Kingston was born. And he just never, ever continued that run. I mean, he had that, what's the name of that group he had?
What was it called? What were they called? The bloody Retribution?
Retribution, yeah, that lasted long.
during the Vince era. So basically, it was like, what do we do? They will hype something up, make it sound interesting, then they introduce them, and then all of a sudden they fizzled out. But then they thought, let's give him a leader. The leader was charismatic. He was like, it was Mustafa Ali. So he was charismatic. He was talking a good talk. Yeah. And it had a bunch of good wrestlers in the group, but they didn't know what to do with them. And it's just like, we can't have nice things. You don't know. Just get rid of them. Just get rid of them.
What? I realized the other day that like when I see Vince, I just think of Dennis Nedry from Jurassic Park. You didn't say the magic word.
Why are you calling Dennis like that for, man? Dennis is a good people.
Honestly, that's what I see. I just see Dennis Nedry from that bit. Like, when like you talk about how he promises you something and it's like, okay, give us what you want. It's like, you didn't say the magic word. You didn't massage my ego.
Cha-ching, bitch. Give me my money.
Yeah, cha-ching. Like, in a do-rag. Anyway, allegedly.
No, it happened. We have video evidence. We got gifts. It's fine.
For real. That's true. Sorry to cut you. I just thought of that little moment there.
Oh, no. It's Vince. It is. No expenses spared here. But no, that match, for a brief second, I thought, Ali, this is your moment, man. Grab that title, man. You deserved it. Because he's had it hard. I mean, this man, during the pandemic, basically gave his resignation. He wanted out. And what did they do? Didn't grant it, so left him to suffer.
Wow.
Didn't they want him to play a terrorist at one stage?
What the?
No, that was Mansoor.
I was going to say, I think that was a different
to do, apparently, that they were going to make it so Mansoor was one of the guys responsible for the 9/11 bombings.
Even though
he wasn't born yet. He was born. He was like, I don't know, like 5 or 9 years old. So, yeah.
Oh my god.
Allegedly.
Sometimes, like, you hear despicable things years later, right? You hear like madness. Like, recently, there's a really good article. It's really in depth about how bad Lost was behind the scenes.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
Yeah, and how they treated like a lot of the like basically like the black, brown, and Korean people, and how Harold Perrineau got treated really badly. And that women got treated badly, but they just kept it going because it's like, it's Lost. So, you know, and years later, now you look at that, you go, oh, so much more of this makes sense now. But you know how the thing with these things is people get invested. And I never forget, like, back in the day, gather around, children. Y'all remember EastEnders, right?
Saturday, yes, it's still going.
Right. Yeah. And there was a storyline, and I'm talking, this is years ago. There was a storyline, I'd say, like, over, oh my God, dare I say it, like 13 years ago.
Okay.
No, sorry, 30 as in 30 years ago. My correction myself. Yeah. When a character was essayed, was assaulted. What's the name? Kathy Beale was essayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
But the actor who played the person who did it was said, like, he would get hit, spat on, and beaten when he was walking out in the street. And he's like, I'm just an actor. I didn't do it for real. We were acting. And that was 30 years ago. So can you imagine doing that to somebody and then doing that now? Because you know people are going to believe it, right? People would actually believe that, yeah, it was. Even if you're like, I was two years old at the time. I was two. Here's maybe a picture. Then they'll be like, was it really you? So, yeah. Sorry to go off on a little, little thing there, but I'm just horrified. That's why I say every time I think he can't get any lower,
but to be fair,
something else comes out.
To be fair, it wasn't Vince's idea.
Oh, okay.
It came out when during one of the many lawsuits WWE received, where I think one of the former writers were talking about like racial discrimination when it came to like dealing with the black superstars and superstars of color in general and the stories that they were given from the writing, because like again, when it comes to, I'm not trying to make a saint out of a sinner or anything like that, but like Vince basically is the last say when it comes to most things. But
of course,
he isn't always write the stories. There's a writing team, and some of the writers and they did make suggestions, hints that such as the 9/11 bombing guy. So.
In fairness, we've been fair on this podcast. Like, we will assign blame to Vince when we know Vince is directly responsible.
No, me and Big Man will. You would just hate him regardless.
No, but I've been fair when something's like out of control. Where it's like, yeah, okay, Vince definitely didn't do that. Or when I was breaking down, you know what I can think of? We're talking about that pricing of stuff, and I'm like, that's not going to be Vince doing that, because that's going to be a wider thing.
Mm.
But and obviously with the writing, of course, you know, yeah, it's not going to be Vince, we hope. But the times when Vince does get involved, boy.
Mm. That's because I didn't know about Manson. Wow. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me. And that's the thing. Back to Ali, he's had it hard. I mean, over the last year, if someone mentions the name Mustafa Ali, instantly I'll say Bobby Lashley. Because this man has been given some of the greatest beatdowns, yeah, for comedy aspect. I mean, bruv, do you remember the time when the man got dashed straight into the bin for no reason?
Because Bobby Lashley was doing the interview at the time, and Mustafa Ali got a bribe there trying to attack Bobby Lashley during the interview, and actually just like doing his took him and flung him. and Mustafa just disappeared. It was like, oh shit, he's dead.
It's literally the man flew off screen, Captain Kirk in flipping Star Trek. You saw the body just go horizontal, and that was it.
Mm.
And this was a comedy pattern for near enough 6 months. Another one, I remember someone must have slapped Bobby Lashley and ran off, and Ali's just standing there, and he must have smiled at him. Next thing I know, man was put in a hurt lock for no reason. This is the type of beatings this man got week in, week out. So Bobby, thank goodness, is now on SmackDown. I thought, you know what? Ali, yet again, you got your moment. You won the battle royale. You got your match. And then Brock Lesnar came.
Boy.
Now, with Brock Lesnar, as a Brock fan, he can be any character version of Brock. I back it. But this cowboy version of him, borderline Yellowstone, he's more funny than
I love him. I genuinely love him. He's actually so good. Like, get a life, kid.
Yeah, that line did it. Because you, honestly, it was done brilliantly. Because yet again, Ali was talking, trying to do a promo, saying, this is it, this is his moment. And out of the blue, Brock Lesnar just walked in shot on camera and just looked at him. And as Brub said, get a life, kid. And that was it. That was it. Yeah.
Rude man's moment, like, thank you.
And that was it. The scene was just dead after that, and that's what made it more funnier. But the fact that now Ali lost the match, and I thought, you know what, he can kick on. Now he's in NXT.
He is indeed.
But... And I thought, okay, you might be on to, maybe going back to NXT might be the way forward for you.
Considering how NXT is going these days, I feel like a lot of wrestlers like can go back to NXT and just have fun. And remember why they did this, because like, because even New Day went back to the NXT, and they had a hell of a run down there, to be honest. And even so did like R-Truth, but he got injured, sadly.
Man meat.
Slapping it anyway. but what was your thoughts on the Cody Rhodes Brock Lesnar match?
I knew Cody wasn't gonna win. That's a given. There ain't no way. Even with one arm, you ain't beating
Brock. I'm sorry, I kind of got pissed off a bit about that match in general.
Why?
Okay. In any sport, any sport, and I mean, like, granted, sports entertainment, but I don't give a shit. Any sport, someone's body isn't working properly, and their doctors test that say, "Yeah, you ain't working properly. You're not competing today." That's what happens in almost every sport. If you're not 100% in some way, shape, or form, like if you're tested by a doctor or a professional in some capacity, and they say, "Yeah, you're not eligible to fight. You can't do that." Yeah. That's it. It's over. Cody Rhodes, I love you. You are like one of the best interests in the game. Great wrestler, huge family lineage. Apparently, in kayfabe, so obviously we know it's not real. But my man has a broken arm, and you'll say, okay, yeah, let him fight regardless. Wait, what?
You
got to
remember though, he's kind of like the Super Cena right now.
So wait, is it a real, actual broken arm?
It's not a real broken arm, but I'm sorry.
But it's in cave. Yeah.
No. I'm like, when I was a kid, I thought I let that shit fly. No, I'm a grown man. I can't have it anymore. Like, if you're a broken arm, you're out for a few weeks. Go on holiday, be a father to your child, go out with your lovely wife, whatever. Don't try and self. Like, I know we're in the process of trying to get Cody to get him to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Roman Reigns at some point. That's the aim. We've got to break him down to build him up again, basically. That's kind of the storyline we're doing right now. But
Bro, you're missing a key thing here, yeah?
I doubt it.
You gotta remember, Cody has a broken arm. You know he's performing at Money in the Bank, right?
Money in the Bank is like 2 months, right? No, it's next month.
Money in the Bank is actually in 30 days.
How long? Okay, one second. How long?
What does it take to recover from a broken arm?
Yeah.
4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, that's logical. Damn it. Fine, that makes sense. Okay, fine. Okay, whatever. I don't care anymore.
Not believe. There ain't no way.
4 to 6 weeks.
All right, yeah. Fine. Don't. Okay, whatever. I sound like
Emma, it. Some might say 4 to 6 weeks on a young'un older person. Well,
he's like what? 30 something?
How old is Mr. Rhodes?
Let's find out. How old is
36? I'm just guessing.
He's 37.
He's 37.
Wow, I was close.
So,
oh my God.
So he's younger than most of us, so it's fine.
He's
fine.
4 to 6 weeks of recovery. Depends on the kind of break. We could get technicalities and what have you. But yeah, 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the injury. But I still stand your whole thing of, like, why are you resting in the... But then I'm now going to think, wait, I'm pretty sure that I saw wrestlers back in the day coming in a cast and then end up fighting.
Yeah, you remember Kurt Angle wrestled
with
a broken freaking neck.
Yeah, but to be fair, that was in real life. Shit, that was real life. Fuck.
Oh god! Oh!
Goddamn, my argument does not stand. Okay, fine, I'll give up, whatever. Fine,
it's okay, bro. I think I remember Randy Roddy Piper coming up in a crutch and in crutches and.
Randy Roddy Piper was always in crutches because he won weapons.
This is true.
But anyway, Night Champions was a pretty decent pay per view, to be fair.
It was, and you know, let's give it a minute here, ladies and gentlemen, and let's talk about Rhea Ripley. Now, sorry, just give me a second. Give me a second.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a second. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm scared.
And that's what I have to say about Rhea Ripley, because if you saw her outfit,
I agree.
Yeah, that's all I have to say. The match lasted as long as her entrance. I think her entrance was longer than the match.
Wow. Well, she just come and slap someone and walk out.
Pretty much.
Basically, basically, not made it worse. It was her opponent was her birthday. It was her birthday that day.
Okay, look. Yeah, I can't take no. I can't take no kayfabe Oreo meeting on my birthday. I can't do that. I need a bonus. I need a birthday bonus.
I'm sure I'm sure Natty's paid very well. She is a third generation superstar. She's been in the company for years.
I'm gonna need something to make the sugar go down. I'm gonna need something to help that go down. I'm gonna need like an extra 100k just for that. Come on,
birthday. Okay.
Okay, not
birthday bumps.
Alright, no offense. If you're working Saudi Arabia, you're getting paid very well.
Yeah.
True.
Really? Well, on my
birthday, yeah. Like I could wake up and have flashbacks of that shit. Like, the fist. Happy birthday. No.
What's up with a random talent? Yeah, sitting them on the crowd looking screw face. Yeah, right. That pay per view.
Because they're. Do you know why looking screw face? Because they're in match and they ain't getting paid.
Seeing Kieran Cross stand sitting among fans, just looking out and out, but if you like, you want
to
be.
And to be fair, of all the people to put in a crowd, why put him? He's like you can't put people who are supposed to be bad guys, who are supposed to have this aura, in a crowd of fans and make him look. What are you supposed to look like? They're not gonna be happy.
Happy with like the foam finger in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
Popcorn and a hot dog.
The Street Profits, that makes sense because they're faces, people love them, they can get hyped in the crowd, it's cool. Karen Cross, no. LA Knight, no. You can't have them, because they're bad guys, they're playing a character.
Yeah, but you know, backfired though. Since they saw it, you heard the LA Knight chant.
Yeah, LA Knight's way over. They need to do something about that at some point.
But I mean, yeah, that's my little 5 second rant. But back to the card. Yeah, Rhea Ripley, we salute you. But on a side note, have you heard that WWE are very high on Dom as potential Money in the Bank winner?
Oh, he's gonna be hated. No shade against Dom, because considering where he started off, he has done so well for himself. Like, yeah, his character work is on point, and like to the point where he's not allowed to talk, the crowd hate him so much. I remember, like, what was it when we did the Puerto Rico show, and he was doing a press conference, the crowd would not let him talk, to the point where he got vexed and started cussing them in Spanish. I would give it to LA Knight, man. LA Knight should get it.
Right. Personally, I want it to go to LA Knight. But when I'm hearing about the lineup, that your boy Edge could be involved. Mm-hmm. I've heard Edge, Cody, Adam. LA Knight. Yeah, Adam. Yeah. Cody being there. Dom seems to be very high up on there.
Ricochet was confirmed for it already, because he obviously won this match.
Yeah, well, to me, Ricochet, that's just for a stupid spot, isn't it?
Of course, it's Ricochet.
And it's off the ladder, yeah. But to be fair, whoever wins it, and for me, it has to be LA Knight. Don't get me wrong, I want Cody to get the title, yeah? But you need to go through some long, hard, Jay-Z, hard not life here to get that. Mm-hmm. Winning Money in the Bank here, for me, no. Because to be fair, who was the last male to cash in on that and actually win?
The last male,
yeah,
probably Dean Ambrose.
And all right, there you go. Look how long was that? Yeah,
that's not what I remember.
Because I ain't seen no man over the last few years cash in and win Money in the Bank.
Actually, that's a lie. Well, technically, The Miz did, but he didn't actually win Money in the Bank. It was Otis's Money in the Bank,
right? Man of Rob title to have what for 2 weeks or a week,
basically, yeah.
I done forget about that. She said, I don't even count that as a win. He wasn't even at the pay-per-view.
Because Otis won it. So Otis technically, but Otis won the Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of pay-per-view, wasn't it? Was on top of the roof of WWE. When murder was committed, but no one don't talk about it.
The one where the edge and we don't talk about it.
Double homicide, we're talking about.
Yeah, off the edge of a building.
Rey Mysterio and Alyssa Black. Yeah, but
when they're still counting, one, two, three.
I still think that was probably one of their best matches they did, though, to be fair.
Oh, you know, that's one of their favorite movies,
The cinematic ones, that was
actually what, the double homicide?
No, because you know, I said it, as soon as I found out that's happening on the roof, I literally remember saying to both of you, someone's going to get dashed over that.
Yeah.
You did. You know what? You did on this podcast, you did say someone's going to, but we were wrong. It was two people who got dashed off the edge of a building. So we were, in that case, we were wrong. Sorry, people.
But, yeah, it's Money Bank.
Sorry, just to make it make sense. You threw two people up, and it's like, that means you have people go, oh my God, he's in front of the building. And then next week, they're just sitting there like, hey.
No, so we know the worst thing is, they didn't comment on that, because I just remember, and like, raw, that was it.
But to be fair, again, it was cinematic, and no one was really talking. It was just basically them doing their thing.
They threw two people off the roof.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
Exactly, he was all crowded over a couple of weeks later. I mean,
yeah, it's fine.
That was who else was on that card?
I can't remember. Sorry, it was so long ago.
That's like beginning of lockdown.
Call a thingy Night of Champions. I can't even remember.
Oh, Night of Champions. So what were we talking about? Night of Champions. Who else?
No, we mentioned Rhea, and I think who else was on that card?
Night of Champions. So it was okay. So we done the Intercontinental, Asuka, Bianca Belair for the women's champion.
Right, that's it. That's another one I need to mention, actually. Oscar and Bianca, yeah? Now, I'm torn over that because, don't get me wrong, I love Bianca. Love the girl. Everything she's done for the community and the wrestling world.
Okay, Bruglia, talk to us. Why are you torn?
Because I love Oscar at the same time. But was that the right way for her to win the match?
Yes.
Enlighten me.
Why do you want to, she's a,
it's
she's,
like, yes.
She's a heel. You want to win with honour? No.
by any means
necessary. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not angry when Roman Reigns wins by cheating or getting the Usos to help him. So why should I care if Oscar wants to blind a bitch and win a title?
Right. I thought it was red, right? Because I actually didn't see that coming. Because I thought you ain't gonna get it with the mist. Because that's too obvious. But to put the mist on your fingers and then blind someone, I thought that's actually pretty smart.
Exactly. All I've ever wanted for Asuka is for her to destroy the women's division that she did in NXT. I don't think we're ever going to get that, but I'd rather have her, like, just bring a bit of chaos to it and kind of hold it, like, because my hope is that with Bianca Belair trying to get a title back, she just loses it and goes heel.
Right. Yet again, you need to get out of my head, right?
No, that's where I live.
No, we live there. We pay rent, damn exactly. It. We're not moving.
Because I don't know if you actually heard, but that is the actual plan. They're going to turn her and the Profits.
And the Profits Hill? Okay, well, it makes sense. One of us is her husband, so it makes sense.
Yeah. So this is sort of a long road. And the thing is, I would love her to go back to her under the dead.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's when you couldn't say nothing to this girl because you get slapped down, and the attitude you wanted to suffer, but she played it brilliantly, and that's when I thought, yeah, I got love for you, girl, because you're just ratchet. But I think that's the start of the story, because I've heard, although if this works out well, I'm all in for this. I've heard possibility Asuka versus Io Sky for SummerSlam.
Ooh, that'd be a good match.
When is SummerSlam?
Summertime.
Pretty much in the slam. So I'll probably say August.
August. Right, yeah. Maybe I'm rushing. I was like, in the summer. He was like, yeah, it's a slam. Like, I was like, I walked into that.
You know the rules.
I did that to myself. I'm very sorry.
No, I'm definitely all in for that. SummerSlam is usually around about August, I would say.
Okay.
But we need to talk about the main event.
Oh, best storyline, period.
Now, over the last few weeks, clearly since WrestleMania, there's been this unspoken about issue within the Bloodline. Now, things are not right, but kind of being glossed over. And that's mainly because of the Usos. Ever since they lost the tag titles, they've been like, you know what, we're going to do it for the tribal shit. Even dedicating match to man, yeah? And then losing. So, okay. You knew sooner or later, Roman's going to snap now, yeah? Because it's one thing to lose a match. But when you're dedicating the match to the tribal chief, you don't lose.
Yep.
You dare don't lose. And Roman's been calm. He's actually been off camera, been off screen for a while. So he's came back. Plays going ape for him, as always. His right-hand man, Solo, come in, and it was a promo that Paul Heyman basically said, this is, look, you don't need to get, that's it, you're speaking to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and he said, we have a tribal chief problem, and the tribal chief is getting fed up at the sight of you. Now, it looks like he's saying that to Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but clearly he's saying that to the Usos, so right there, the wheels are in motion that something's going to happen. Fast forward to the rematch, the Usos lost.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and yet again, Roman's been calm. But over the last few weeks, I've seen Roman when he first came back for the Acknowledge Me period, where you can't even let man speak here. He's going from 0 to 100 now. Barking at people like, why are you talking? I didn't tell you to talk. Pie-facing people. Threatening people, and I'm like, okay, he's gonna snap. So when they announced that the tag titles were, which to be fair, I thought were gonna be against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn yet again versus the Usos, and they said, no, it's gonna be Solo and Roman versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And I thought, okay, that's a slight issue, because I thought Sami Zayn weren't going back to the Middle East. Right, they were. And the ovation he got, as Brad pointed out, when that match starts, and you see Sami Zayn walk to the ring, the big smile on Roman's face, says it all.
Yeah, because like he broke character, to sit, like he was like, "Wow, this is awesome," kind of thing. Like he could not hold character.
Help himself, yeah.
He could hold a screen face, but like, yeah, because like the whole thing is that Sami is from Syria. And yeah. Obviously, there's been like a dispute between Syria and Saudi Arabia for years over.
Yeah,
I don't know the details. I'm not educated enough on that situation. But apparently, things have settled down between the two. So it makes it a lot easier for Sami Zayn to actually go to Saudi Arabia now.
So
of course, Sami Zayn is a Muslim. He's just a devout Muslim. He speaks Arabic. And like, I mean, he introduced him and Kevin Owens in Arabic. The crowd went crazy for him.
Oh, right. Okay.
And match was good. Story was better. The story it told was just it was beautiful. Like chef's kiss.
It was, because I was more shocked. Well, to be fair, I was shocked because I thought, you know what? Roman's just going to hold everything now on SmackDown. So I thought he would have won the tag titles, but Solo got the bin. But actually, the Usos accidentally kicked their own brother, which made them lose the match. Now, what happened after?
Well, to be fair, I was still during the match. Technically, they super kicked Solo, and Roman came in and saw that. He was like, and the match was still going on.
Yeah.
And then he started getting like in Jay's face and pie face. Okay, is it just me? When I see someone get pie face, I get angry. it's like when you get someone pushes your head with a finger in your forehead and your finger. When I saw Roman do that, so I was like, dude, you need to stop doing that. I was wanting to get angry and pushing back. The match was still ongoing, and then Jimmy decided to switch and super kick Roman in the face on purpose.
Right there, I can honestly say, now you might agree or disagree with me, bro, on this one, yeah? Wasn't that the most satisfying?
Yes! it would have been more satisfying if it was Jay who did it.
Yeah.
But it just shows how deep the Stockholm Syndrome goes when it comes to Jay. Like, seriously, he's like going, "Why did you do that? What are you doing? He's going to be so mad. Why would you do this?" And then Jimmy and Jay, they are such good actors, I've got to say. Because Jimmy was like, "I got you. You're my brother." He said, "I'm going to do what you should have done a long time ago." And super kicks him again. Yeah. I was like, "Oh shit!" And then we went, "Ah!" Oh. I was like, "Oh shit!" I felt that, because again, if you remember that match, him and Jimmy, Jay and Roman had way back in the day, the I Quit match. That's where it all began. That's where this whole Stockholm indoctrination storyline began with the Usos, and just to see it just slowly come to a conclusion is just so satisfying. This is a good prime example of long-term storytelling. I've never been so, because usually I don't watch SmackDown or Raw live. I am looking forward to watching SmackDown. Yeah, SmackDown live tomorrow. Friday.
Thousand-day anniversary, isn't it? Party for Roman. That's going to be no party.
And the way I hear it, Jimmy and Rikishi's getting involved.
Well, apparently, I've heard they've invited Cody to turn up on SmackDown tomorrow with a broken arm, so that's going
to
be fun.
Oh, for fuck's sake, go to the hospital, man. This
is gonna drag on, but I already heard.
You should know better than to leave.
I mean,
right, happened with a broken arm.
If right now, I'll give Jimmy needs to. Well, I was knowing Jimmy. Jay needs to get not with the Emmy nominated for best supporting actor in dramatic sequence, because his acting was on point. You saw, like, I can't. Fuck it. That was it, basically, because he just couldn't hack it anymore. And when he turned around and walked off, like, "Bro, let's go," I went, "Yeah, it's done." This is the beginning of the end. This is now the sum of Usos versus Roman and Solo.
Ooh,
but also
long-term storytelling for the win.
Quickly, we need to touch on Double or Nothing as well. AEW, yet again, you're coming up with some bangers of pay-per-views. And like I said, don't get me wrong, the only thing I disagree with AEW's pay-per-view is the length.
They are old school WWE lengths these days. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Shift flex,
yeah. One till near enough, quarter to six in the morning business.
Working overtime.
I don't do live pay-per-views unless it's like in the afternoon, like Night of Champions. Like I could wait till next morning. I'm cool with that. But Double Nothing was another good pay-per-view. Like, I feel for me, the match of the night was the Four Pillars for the world title. That was probably the best match. That was the best match for me because MJF just gave me so much choke.
You know what? MJF right now, I will say this from the bottom of my heart. Whatever you do, do not sign to WWE.
I agree.
Because there is no way you can be like the way he is in AEW and WWE. Mm. They'll double down so bad.
Yeah, unless he gets a guaranteed contract saying like, yeah, I can be me, then I wouldn't recommend him going there because he gets away with a lot of shit because literally like throughout during a match, like there's a wrestler called what's his name? Darby Allin. He got him into like a cutter move, like a stunner move, and all you could hear was Maxwell or MJF screaming, "What the fuck?"
Commentating for it was superb.
Yeah,
because you're laughing so hard you can't even keep an eye on what's happening on screen. He is for me next behind Roman Goat of the Year. Straight MJF is second for me because he plays that role so well. You actually want to slap him if you see him out on the street on sight. No words for it. You just walk up to him, slap, and just might keep on moving. And I'm not telling you to do that, people.
Please don't. We're not advocating for that at all.
But also, the last thing I have to touch on is two quick things. Jade Cargill losing her title.
It's about time, to be honest. But at the same time, it's bittersweet, I would say. Because Chris Statlander deserved it. Plus, she's been gone for so long with her injury. It was kind of cool to see it happen. Because she's been putting the work before her injury anyway. I feel like that was the original plan for her. But obviously the injuries happen. I think the match that disappointed me the most was probably the Jamie Hayter match, but she was injured, so I get it.
Yeah, that's so sad that she injured. But you know what? The only way they can rectify that is she wins it in London.
Yeah, I hope she's back in time for London.
Yeah, I have a feeling she possibly might be.
Got to support the fair Brits. You got to support the Brits.
Look, London's going to be a madness. But I need to touch on one thing. Uh-oh. Now that you, bro, we've seen it all. We've seen someone get to dash off a ladder. We've seen superstars get thrown off a steel cage.
A building? Yeah. You said. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen someone being super kicked with C4?
Yes. I didn't see that coming, to be fair. I was like, what the fuck? I literally thought I was Fei Long from Street Fighter. I thought, he's got fire kicked now. What the fuck?
I was like, I'm tapping out. Bye. What are we doing now? What is this? What in the Fei Long is going on? What's happening?
Only the Young Bucks can do something like that. Because that anarchy in the ring was just exactly as it lived up to. Anarchy. But the fact that this whole sequence came from nowhere. Man's getting in the sharpshoot or some type of submission, and this man super kicks him, and the super kick explodes. I literally stood there and I thought, all right, I know, it's turning into daylight now, but did I just actually see that?
That's what, my reaction was, motherfucker, for what? Like, why? it's just been extra for the sake of being extra. Now. Like, you know, like,
someone wrote that and someone said, okay, now hear me out.
To be fair, they're VP, so they probably wrote that.
Literally what they want. Literally.
But so I'm going to put the fireworks around here. What?
No, actually, what? actually. Remember, hold up, who match was it when they had the exploding ring that went horribly wrong?
Oh, that was John Moxley versus Kenny Omega.
Because it was supposed to be
like this dramatic thing where John Moxley is about to be blown up and one of his friends comes in, covers him and tries to save him, but the explosion didn't go over to plan and didn't look kind of shit.
Like fireworks more than anything.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's kind of a flop. Never mind then.
No one tell them about Flores Lava, yeah? No one tell them that because they might think, we can do that. And...
Oh, hang on. You might want to check that, actually.
Oh, Jesus.
Who was it? Was it Bray and Braun had that match in the swamp?
Yes, yeah, but... that was another cinematic match.
Yeah.
The swamp's different to lava, and I'm going to stick behind this. It's different to, like, you know, volcanic lava.
I'm sure the Japanese have done that at some point, so that's fine.
Was it called again? Forbidden Door forthcoming, so anything's possible.
So it's called what?
Forbidden Door.
Yeah,
but basically, the Finbar is like a saying in the wrestling industry because, like, it's very rare. Like, for example, WWE will never really reference other shows on their programming.
Yeah.
But places like AEW, Impact, they will reference each other. Confirm that to like being like opening the hidden door. When they call it Forbidden Door, it's basically different.
An orange and upcoming.
Yeah, acknowledge that wrestlers from other companies come together and have matches, basically. So basically it's like Marvel versus DC in a sense.
Yeah, fantasy warfare become real. That's what it is. But I will say this, I mean, going forwards, stay locked in, people, because we're only just getting started.
And to say, out of all the pay-per-views I watched over the weekend, NXT Battlegrounds was probably the best one.
Alright, but that's another thing I have to say quickly. I know we've got to wind down soon. Run Breaker. Yeah. A man who, no offense, I couldn't stand as a face, as a fan favorite. As soon as that guy turned heel, he got my respect. Because
I'm seeing a trend here, guys.
No, seriously, no, this is hilarious. This man was all hugging babies and whatnot. He lose the title, then he flip. I knew Bron Breakker was on stuff. Did you see when he went to the barbershop?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I gotta say, it's funny because, like, him as a heel now, I'm hearing a lot of, like, his uncle.
Yeah. Oh, isn't he just?
Yeah, because Bron Breakker is like his uncle is Scott Steiner, and his dad is Rick. So like Scott Steiner, when he went in his early days WCW, he would come out with these just dotty cusses. Like, he didn't give a shit. He would say what the fuck he wanted, and there were certain times in a match during the match, you're hearing Scott. what the hell? It's like old school Steiners. This is weird. But at the same time, he's a bloody tank and a good wrestler. So the match he had with Carmelo Hayes was a blinder.
Brilliant.
See, I think my match.
His spear is disgustingly. I mean, he's eclipsed, was it called Goldberg now for spears? And I ain't no Goldberg fan. But the spears that Bron's giving out to people, I'm like, mate, you shouldn't be standing up after that.
I've got to say, my match, it's hard to choose one match out of all the matches I watched that night on the ground, but I think, because between the opener, the triple threat for the North American, and the last man standing between Ilya Dragunov and Dijak.
Yeah, they're worth some belters.
Yeah, I feel like in NXT, but NXT are always like, but then the bloody, there were so many good matches, never mind.
But you know what? It's actually been a long time coming because in the last sets of kind of stuff that we've been talking about around the same time, it's just been disappointment after disappointment. It's been like, yeah, you know, or didn't you? Yeah, it's nice to hear you both excited because it's been a long time coming where it's been consistently good matches that you've all enjoyed. And I'm glad. I'm glad because, you know, it's like, this is what it should be.
It should be.
Yeah, this is what it should be. It's what we should be getting to. So, yeah, it's nice to hear for a change that it's some, you know, a good lineup. The shifts may be long, but it seems to have been worth it.
No, because I've still in recovery, trust.
Well, on that note, I guess it is time for us to bid everybody farewell and thank you for your ears and your time with that little exploration into a bloody good set of matches and some really good examples of long-term storytelling. Thank you again, big man, for that little dive, and brother as well. We shall return, of course. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us at stjudesavengers@gmail.com. You can look us up on Instagram, subscribe, like us. That's at Messed Up Pod on Instagram and Messed on Twitter. Bruv, what are your socials?
You can find me on YouTube under InstantClassic_KB. You can find me on Kick under InstantClassic-Gaming. And you can also find me on Twitch, Instagram and TikTok under InstantClassic_Gaming. Big man, how about you?
You can find me on Insta at Mr_Roberts_V1. And excuse me, on Twitter at War3782.
Fantastic. Thank you all for your ears and your time. And we bid you farewell. Take care. Yes, we is.
See you later, people.
Bye.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.